Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runners, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We are brought to you by the Tough Man Triathlon Series by VeloFix.com, the world's coolest mobile bike shop. RunCatalina.com, Catalina Eco Marathon, half marathon at 10K coming up on Saturday, November 18th. ATV Swim Spas, the official training vessel of six-time Ironman champion Dave Scott. Our Challenged Athletes Foundation, we've now raised over $90 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. And check us out on Babbittville.com, on iTunes. And as always, endurance lives here. Our next guest is coming off a huge win. I think it was her first pro win at Ironman Lanzarote, and won her age group world championship for both 70.3 and the full Ironman back in 2015. She will be racing for the first time as a pro in Kona coming up in October. Her name is Lucy Charles. Lucy, thank you so much for taking time.
Hey, Bob. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
It's an honor, Lucy. You've been on a roll this year with your win at Lanzarote and second in Frankfurt. And take me back. You obviously swam, and swimming was your main sport growing up. And when I look at the type of distances, I see everything from, you know, 50, 100, 200, 400, 800. Then all of a sudden I see 10K. And when did you transition from the pool to doing open water?
So I think it was probably around age 17 that I decided to specialize more on the longer distance freestyle. And then I decided to venture into the open water swimming just to try something a bit new and a bit more exciting. So I think my first distance open water I did was about 1500, and then I found out that you could do these crazy distances up to 10K. So straight away, I wanted to try and do the 10-kilometer swim, which is what I eventually built up to doing when I was about 18 or 19. So, yeah, I definitely went from doing nearly all the events to thinking that I wanted to do the longest distance event.
Well, and then that became an Olympic sport, right? 10K became an Olympic event. Was that something you were thinking about?
Yeah, so I was definitely trying to get to the Olympics on the 10K, and I sort of just missed out in the London Olympics, which is obviously my hometown, so I was really disappointed to just miss out, but I did get to do the Olympic test event that year, which was the same course, and then I did go and watch the actual Olympics, so yeah, it's kind of that's what I was gunning for, and then I didn't quite make it.
Now, did you also get to the trials that year for the finals in 800?
Yeah, that's right. So I did like the pool Olympic trials as well. And yeah, the 800 freestyle was my best event in the pool. So I did make the final for that. And yeah, again, missed out on the Olympics for that event.
So what was your PR for 800 in the pool?
So long course, it was around 840.
Oh, my God. Okay, so here's my swimming question for you. What is tougher, the 200 fly or 400 IM?
I'd have to go with the 400 IM, but that's purely because my breaststroke is so atrocious that to get through that 100 breaststroke in the IM is a real struggle.
Oh, my God. It's funny. I always ask swimmers that because both of them are brutal, right? And it's funny, though, because yeah, a lot of the people I'm talking to are then people who go on from these eight, you know, these events that take minutes to full Ironman events. Yeah. So what was the attraction? When you came over, it just seemed like a light bulb went on. It's like, oh, my God, I love this sport. This is perfect for me. Was that the way you felt?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of, at first, I just thought I would do one Ironman and see how it went and just kind of tick it off because it's something that I'd always sort of thought about doing once I'd stopped swimming. So I do remember when I first entered it and my dad had done a few marathons and he was like, well, you're definitely going to have to run a marathon first because how are you going to do an Ironman if you can't run a marathon? So I had to tick off doing a marathon that year as well. And I actually found doing the marathon on its own harder than doing it in the Ironman, which is strange.
No, it's true. It's definitely because yeah, you know, by the time you start your marathon, it's not in the Ironman. At least you're warmed up.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So, and then after finishing the Ironman in UK in 2014, that was kind of, I definitely want to do this and maybe take it a bit more seriously. And I was hooked.
So in 13 is when you're dealing with shoulder injuries and you went to some 10K swim events and your shoulder obviously was the issue. Did you get into the cycling and running at first just sort of, okay, I need to do something and I can't really swim right now?
Yeah, so I kind of, it wasn't until the end of 2013. I think I raced in Scotland. There was a swim up in somewhere in Scotland in one of the lakes, and I had a pretty bad result. And it was sort of after that, Reese and I both decided, you know what, let's just enter an Ironman and train for that. So we've got some new exciting goal to work towards. And I think we both didn't realise how big a task it was going to be, having never really cycled or run properly. I think we both only earned a mountain bike at the time. So even just trying to learn to ride a road bike was a big jump.
So Reese Barkley, who is your everything, right? Fiance, coach, agent, all the rest of it. Did he come from that swim background as well?
Yeah, but he was a 50-meter sprinter in the pool, so even more.
Oh, my God. Oh, he goes from 50 meters to, I don't know, I'll do 8 hours, 9 hours. That's funny. So both of you got into the sport together.
Yeah, we did.
And in 2014, you're racing as an age grouper, and you're doing you were first and second in a whole bunch of sprints and Olympic distance races. And the cool part is you're having success right away. Obviously you had a lot of success as a swimmer, but here you come to a new sport where you're learning cycling and running and you're having success pretty much right away. That had to encourage you.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. It was a huge buzz to kind of come straight into a new sport and be doing pretty well. The biggest thing was the cycling. I did sort of run at school and take part in athletics and cross country, so I knew I had a little bit of background on the running front, and obviously the endurance for swimming helped, but it was really the learning to ride a bike that was the most difficult part, I think.
So 2015, second at the ITU British Sprint Championships. Now, had you thought about the whole ITU format with the draft legal or right away? Because a lot of people at your age, being young, will go for the Olympic distance and Olympic format, and then eventually they move on to 70.3 and Ironman. You started very, very young. Did you feel right away that you'd rather do that than go after potentially going after the Olympics in triathlon?
Yeah, I think, because the first year, the big goal was to do the Ironman. So I kind of used them races as just sort of a training and benchmark to work my way up to doing the Ironman. So I hadn't really thought about racing in the shorter distance. And obviously they were going well as well. So it wasn't until I'd done the Ironman and done well at that I decided to kind of just stick with the Ironman. But I obviously think I could have done quite well on the shorter distance stuff as well, and I've never done a draft legal race, so I'm not sure how that would go.
So when I look at 2015, I think you had like 10 wins either in your age group or overall, and in June, it's like you did a whole season in June. You were first in the 18-24 in the ITU London Olympic distance race. You won the 18 to 24, ninth overall at Staffordshire, and first overall English middle distance champs. All this is, I'm like, wait, this is a whole season right here. She's done like, then there was tell me about the Henley Highwayman three-day endurance event. That sounds sort of fun.
Oh, yeah, so that was a great event. It was split over 3 days, so it's pretty much an Ironman over 3 days.
Yeah.
And the swim was in a river, so going one way was really, really fast with the current, and then going the other way was really slow. And it ended up being about 4.2-kilometer swim because one of the boys was getting dragged down the river. So I remember swimming, and there was this kind of like a speedboat going, and it was telling me to go back because I was already going too far to get to the boy because it was gone way downstream. So so that was quite fun. I think we still swam a pretty fast time, even considering. So that was good. The bike was interesting because I think this was, it was a brand new event at the time, so it was kind of its first ever year. And the bike was going on, but there was also another bike sportive going on, and the signs were the same colour. So there was just cyclists everywhere. And I think this was probably one of only my like second or third rides of the Iron Distance. So yeah. I think I ended up doing a lot more cycling than the actual distance. So I knew I'd be fine doing 180K because I think I'd done about 200 kilometres by the end of it. And it was pretty, it was round sort of the Chilterns, which is a hilly area. So that was quite a tough bike. And then the run on the last day was actually really tough as well. It wasn't a full marathon, but it was off-road, trail, really hilly, some really big climbs on the hills. So, so that was a great event. I really enjoyed that. And it was, I think even doing it like that's more difficult than doing it all in one day because you just get the job done in the one day rather than going to bed and thinking, oh, God, I've got to do the next part tomorrow. So, yeah, that was good.
Well, you know, it's so funny about that. When I first went to do the Ironman in 1980, there was 100 of us, all right, going to Hawaii, and nobody knew anything. So I thought that you did it that way. I thought you swam 2.4, rode 56, camped out. So I had pannier, sleeping bag, and tent on the bike, rode back the next day and ran the marathon, which made a heck of a lot more sense to me than trying to do the whole thing in one day. So I like that whole idea of the Henry Highwayman. That's pretty cool. But four events in 1 month. I mean, like I said, that's sort of a season. It was the type of thing where you're just going, I just love this. This is so much fun. Where's the next race?
Yeah, I think, it was just such a change from swimming all the time. And we were used to competing every single weekend as swimmers.
So oh, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, it was normal, but obviously probably a lot more challenging because a triathlon is a bit more difficult than swimming even a 1500 that lasts 20 minutes or 15 minutes. So, I think we were just loving it and hooked on it.
So the other thing that happens in triathlon is, as somebody who's a great swimmer like you are, have you had any issues? Like you were talking about that one where the buoy was basically moving. When you're leading, a lot of times the lead paddlers are learning from you, and then they've got it dialed in by the time the 50th and 60th person comes through. Have you had any things where people are leading you off course and, where the heck is the buoy and that type of stuff yet?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I had a background in open water swimming, so I was fairly experienced in that. But I've made a few errors where I've swam really off course because I've got to look where I'm going and I'm not following someone. So,
right.
I've done that a few times. And I think even earlier, it was this year when I raced the 70.3 in Dubai.
Yes.
I swam really off course there. And Reese didn't come out to Dubai with me, but before I'd even finished, he knew I'd done something like that in the swim because he was like, there's no way you swam that sort of time when he compared it to the men. So I was in trouble before I'd even finished and he wasn't even there. So I can't get away with anything. But yeah, I've been making a point to really look where I'm going after that race this year because I can't make that mistake again.
So then the rest of that, in 2015, you win 18:24 at Ironman UK, ninth overall, 10:58. Then you win 70.3 Worlds, 18:24. Then, it's very rare that somebody wins the age group Worlds in their age division in both the World Championship 70.3 and Kona in the same year. So when you went to Kona for the first time, what was that experience like for you?
Obviously, I'd never experienced anything like that, not in swimming or yet in triathlon. So it was really about going there and soaking it all up. And Reese was obviously racing as well, which was nice. So it meant that we were both going through the experience together and soaking it all up. And there really is no other race like Kona. So we both wanted to get back and race there again once we'd been there.
Okay, so this year, or actually in 2016, it was 2016 Lanzarote. Was that your first race as a pro? A first Ironman as a pro?
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. You go to Lanzarote. And I was there years ago. That was one of the most brutal courses. There's wind. It's not often that you climb and there's wind in your face as you climb. And I sort of remember that course as being pretty brutal. Well, how do you compare that course to the Kona course?
Obviously it's fairly similar in terms of being hot and being windy.
Yep.
There's far less humidity than Kona, so that makes it a tiny bit easier. But then there's a lot more climbing than there is in Kona on the bike. So the bike course is very tough. I do like climbing, though, so I think that's why the course does suit me. And then the run is fairly flat, but it is hot, but obviously not humid. So, yeah, it's tough, and it's a good prep for Kona because you know that you've already done a tough Ironman, and if you've done quite well in it, then you kind of tick the box. So, yeah, I'd say it's been good prep for Kona this year.
So you've got some great history there with Chrissy Wellington winning the Ironman four times. Rachel Joyce has been top three numerous times, I think six times in the top seven or so. Did you know of those athletes beforehand, before you got into triathlon?
No, so not until I got into triathlon and then obviously found out a lot about British athletes doing very, very well in triathlon, and that seems to be keeping going as well. So, yeah, there's a good history of athletes in the sport, and it's definitely been inspiring to learn about that as I've come into it.
And so this year, you go to Lanzarote, and I think your lead off the bike was, I don't know, 20 minutes or something along that line. You've progressed so quickly as a pro, and you were second in Frankfurt and had a really, really good race there. Talk a little bit about that transition from, I mean, your transition was so quick. You're an age grouper for about a minute, and then you became a pro, and you've had success right away. But was there a transition going from being an age grouper to a pro for you? Did you have to change the way you trained, or was it just a matter of maturing in the sport and learning a little bit more every day?
Yeah, I mean, as I went into triathlon, Reese and I, we've got a personal training business, so we was always able to train quite well around our work, and I think that helped us sort of progress quite well from good level age group into racing pro this last year and this year. 2016 was quite a hard year because I wanted to kind of really stamp and say I'm here, I'm a pro and I'm racing, but I got an injury. I think it was around March time. I got a stress fracture in my shin.
Yes.
So, but at the time I didn't know what it was. So I kind of continued to train and maybe just lowered my run volume a little bit and still raced the Ironman in Lanzarote that year, which looking back, I probably really shouldn't have done because that made the injury a lot worse. But you learn from these things, and it's definitely taught me what my body is and isn't capable of and when to take rest and things like that. So you're constantly learning, and think I've learned a lot of lessons very early on in my career, which is definitely going to be helpful.
Well, and you look back, like when I looked at that 2015 year and seeing four events in June, I mean, every one of them had running in it and a fair amount. And then the fact that you did the 70.3 Worlds, the level of competition when you're racing 70.3 Worlds and you're racing Kona, even as the age group, it's still a lot of these folks are one step away from being pro. So the high-intensity racing that you did, you did a ton of racing that year. I think it sort of caught up with you. But you still, at Lanzarote, your pro debut, you still finished third. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I was dead chuffed with that as well. Sort of, I didn't expect to make the podium in my first pro Ironman. So, yeah, it was still a good start.
Well, and you, 18 seconds behind Jan Frodeno out of the water?
Yeah, something like that. Not too bad.
And did you say that, hey, I think I'm going to beat Jan out of the water beforehand?
I did say a few things like that. So, all good fun and games.
Absolutely. It seems like that you're looking at this as, listen, this is, I've been a pro athlete is what I've always wanted to do. I went as far as I could in swimming, and then I found this amazing sport of triathlon. And I'm enjoying it. Right? You're enjoying the journey. Now, when you race, do you and Reese are usually about 30 minutes or so apart? Is he winning at this point?
Yes. Yeah, so, yeah, he's constantly trying to get faster and stay in front, and I'm constantly trying to chase him, which I think works really well. And obviously, both coming from the swim background, we're quite competitive in the pool, which it definitely helps with our training when we train together and we push each other in the right way.
Have you beat him in a race yet?
I'm not sure. I think only if you count him not finishing for some sort of reason. He seems to have a fair bit of bad luck with mechanicals. Or in one of our early triathlons, someone took his shoes on the run. So
what?
You have trainers.
So, somebody took his running shoes?
Yeah, he's if it could happen, it's probably happened to him. So yeah, hopefully he's got all of his bad luck out of the way before he starts racing pro. He's probably experienced everything that could happen.
Now, is Reese a pro as well?
So he will start racing pro after Kona this year, so that'll be his last age group event.
Oh, so he's doing Kona as an age grouper this year?
Yeah, in the 25 to 29 category.
How is that when you guys go to races together and you're both, it seems like you've always done that, where you're both racing, so it's not like you've done it where you're going and racing and he's spectating or being your support person. Any issues with the two of you racing, or do you try to... I remember talking to Miranda Carfrey and, you know, Tim O'Donnell. They basically run their own schedules during Kona week just because, you know, they've got different goals than they need to. How do you guys handle those big weeks when you're both racing?
Yeah, I mean, it can be fairly stressful. And, yeah, that sounds like a pretty good idea with Rennie and Tim O'Donnell having almost a week apart. I think sometimes that could work quite well. But then I guess... sometimes one of us may forget something if the other one hasn't said, have you got this? So, and quite often that could happen. So I think we're so used to racing together that at the moment we haven't had any issues with that. And although you do feel like the tension builds leading into a race, I think we kind of thrive off that and the nervous energy works. So, yeah, we wouldn't change it at the moment.
So in Frankfurt, that's a pretty special race. And... you were, if I'm not mistaken, what, about 4 minutes down at the end of the day to Sarah?
I think it was around that. It wasn't too much.
Yeah. So she won by about 4 minutes, and I'm guessing, you outswam her by a ton, and then then in the run, she went like 3:05, you ran 3:13. What do you come away with? That's a world-class event. That's, you're racing the top pros in the world. And I'm sure you look at that race and go, okay, what do I need to do? Because now the level goes up even higher when we go to Kona.
Yeah, I mean, that was a fantastic learning curve, that race. And for me, it was quite a good step up because that's the quickest run I've done off the bike. And it was pretty hot there as well. So it was good to see things all progressing in the right direction. And kind of, again, racing two Ironmans before Kona is a good amount of training on that Ironman. Like, I've only done probably 5 Ironmans so far. So doing 2 in 1 year was good to learn a lot of things nutrition-wise, dealing with the heat. The biggest thing this year, I think, is that my bike is progressing. So, yeah, there was a lot of takeaways on things that I done well and things that can be improved. So, yeah, I enjoyed that race there. It had a great atmosphere, especially on the run as well, which definitely helped. So, I did enjoy that.
And when did Sarah go by during the run?
So I reckon we was probably about 4 or 5K into the run, that was probably when I first saw her, was about 4 or 5K into the run. So then it was the second lap when she went past.
Okay. And now when you head to Kona, and this time is your first time as a pro, what do you have some goals and expectations there?
I mean, it's difficult to say. I mean, this is probably the biggest competition of the year, and everyone will bring their A game to the race. So I'm just hoping I can get there with my A game as well and put down a solid performance. Obviously, I have been there before as an age grouper, so I've got a small amount of experience. Although I think the dynamic of the race will be completely different and a lot more feisty, which I like. So, yeah, I'm just looking to get there in good shape and see what I can do.
What makes this sport special? You obviously have been an athlete, a world-class athlete for a long time. What is it about this sport that really is that you like so much?
I think it's how challenging it is, and that everyone seems to work very, very hard because you're balanced in 3 sports, and obviously coming from a single sport background, you were solely focused on that one sport, whereas you can't really do that in this sport. You have to dedicate yourself to the 3 sports, because I often find that you always have maybe one or the 2 sports that are going really well and then one that's lagging behind. So it's a real balancing act, and it is a full-time job as a pro. And yeah, I love how I find everyone seems to be a lot more enthusiastic in this sport and excited about it, which gives this whole really good atmosphere around it. So, yeah, I'm definitely enjoying it.
Well, you get to see something besides a black line.
Yeah, 100%.
That is the best part. When you look back at you've only been in this for a few years, was Lanzarote your high point at this point, winning your first pro race?
Yeah, I think that was the biggest, almost confidence boost as well, to think, because going into that race, I wasn't sure what I would be able to do, and to actually go there and win it was unexpected even for me. So, yeah, that was definitely the breakthrough race, I think.
Love it. Hey, Lucy, thank you so much for taking time. And you're in Lanzarote now doing some training?
Yeah, so I'm here for the next 4 weeks. I'm actually racing the 70.3 on Saturday just to break up my training a little bit. So, looking forward to that.
And talk about breaking up your training. I remember being there. Maybe there's more roads now. There weren't a heck of a lot of roads when I was there.
Yeah, I mean, we always are finding new routes, but it's more that where we're staying at Club La Santa, there's only two ways out, and both of them are climbing straight away up. So
yep.
You either pick the left or the right route, and then you've got a lot more roads to play with once you're out. But, we've been here for 4 weeks already, so we've got 4 more weeks to go. It's definitely starting to feel like we're on a training camp now, but that's what it's all about, leading into Kona.
I love it. Lucy Charles has been our guest. Lucy, best of luck, and we get to have breakfast in Kona.
Yeah, I can't wait. Yeah, catch up again then. Thank you
I
very much.
I love it. Lucy Charles has been our guest again. We are brought to you by ToughManTry.com, VeloFix, the world's coolest mobile bike shop, RunCatalina.com, ATV Swim Spas, the official training vessel of six-time Ironman champion Dave Scott. DonateCAF.com. We've just sent out 2,448 grants totaling $3.7 million to keep challenge athletes in the game of life through sport. Check us out on Babbittville.com or on iTunes. And as always, endurance lives here.